Good morning to everyone, and welcome, welcome. It's good to see all of you this morning. I'm very thankful to be here, and I'm very thankful that our church had minimal damage. And just brought to mind the enormity of this storm, and praying for Afghanistan and our border and so many things, so many giants in this world came to mind as I was preparing for the sermon this week. So I'm going to talk about David and Goliath. And think about all the stories that you've heard of David and Goliath. And then stop on what David was thinking and what David was going through. These are things you may not have thought about. Okay, so as the giant walked front and center down the hill in front of the Philistines that he was protecting, he was yelling, "Come and fight with me!" He wanted to put fear in the Israelites so that they would not come and fight with him. The strategy of fear is the way evil stirs up anxiety and uncertainty. On my way down this morning, one of the songs I was listening to on the radio, "My fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm standing on God's love." Saul, the leader of the Israelites, was quite a large man himself, but he was not relying on God's strength as Goliath stood in front of him. Saul was filled with fear. And so he turned to his men, godly men, and said, "I will give you rewards to go and fight Goliath. I will give you riches if you go and fight Goliath." Nobody moved forward. "I will let you marry my daughter." Nobody moved forward. "I will give you tax exemptions." Nobody moved forward. No one stepped forward. The soldiers stood in fear. If you think about it, it would be like our Rose and Hope trying to stand up to Mr. Matt over here. The size difference, the speed difference, the muscle difference. Nobody moved forward. It was David who had the Spirit of the Lord within him. It was David who had supernatural courage provided by the Lord. He was the youngest of eight brothers, the son of Jesse. He really didn't know much about fighting except for the little slingshot he used to play with as he was watching the sheep. That was his job, all alone, watching the sheep. He really wanted to just go and check on his brothers. But he was misunderstood. His brothers thought that he was provoking them to move forward to fight Goliath. David could have easily said, "See you later, I have to go watch the sheep." But he didn't. His brothers treated him as an insignificant person at that time. At that moment, David was misunderstood. We've all been there, right? When people misunderstand us, and sometimes they think negative of us or say something negative about us. David was being questioned about his motives. His brothers even thought that David was provoking them. They should be the ones who are fighting. He was rebuked by his brothers. However, while he was out playing with his slingshot and watching the sheep, he was spending time talking with God, listening for God. He was able to stand firm with the armor of God. He was standing on God's love. David willingly stood up for God. He was in the right, walking in the Spirit of God. He lets everyone know that he would be putting, and does, put God first, honoring a living God. My Bible this morning, and I would like to share with you 1 Samuel 17 from the Children's Bible. God's people had some scary enemies, but the Philistines were the scariest of them all. And now the Philistines had come to fight them. The Philistines had a secret weapon called Goliath. Goliath was a terrifying soldier, and worst of all, he was a giant. A giant so strong and so tall and so scary that no one ever had been able to fight him and live to tell about it. So there they were, the Philistines standing on top of one hill and God's people standing on top of the other. Every day, Goliath came out and shouted, "Send your best soldier to fight me. If he wins, we will be your slaves. But if I win, you will be our slaves." No one spoke. No one moved. "Chickens," Goliath bellowed, "your God can't save you. I'll rip your heads off and have you on toast." His beady, greedy eyes glowered at them hungrily from under his horrible helmet, as if any minute he really might just gobble them up. And he laughed, "Ha, ha, ha," and it boomed, echoing horribly around and around the dry, dry valley. Well, Goliath might just as well have been a green, slimy monster with three heads, because God's people froze in fear. Their eyes glazed over, and they turned deathly pale. They knew if someone didn't do something quick, if someone didn't save them, but God would do something. He would send someone to save them now. Now, you remember that David was the youngest son of Jesse? Well, his brothers were soldiers in the army, and one day, when David brought his brothers their lunch, he saw Goliath. And he saw how scared everybody was. "Don't be afraid," David said. "I'll fight him for you." "You're only a little shepherd boy," the king said. "And Goliath is a great soldier. How will you fight him?" "God will help me," David said. So the king gave David his royal armor to wear, but it was too heavy and too big, and David couldn't even walk. "I won't need this," David said. Instead, David picked out five smooth stones from the stream, and he took his slingshot, and he walked toward Goliath, step by step. Goliath walked toward David, thud, thud, thud. "You?" Goliath peered down at the small boy. "I'm little," David shouted up to him, "but God is great." Goliath laughed, an even terribler laugh than usual. "Ah, ha, ha," he went. With just one swing of his giant sword, Goliath could finish the boy off. But David kept going, step by step. "It isn't how strong you are or how many swords and spears you have that will save you. It is God that saves you. This is God's battle. And God always wins his battles." David put a stone in his sling, swung it around, and let it go. The little stone flew, whiz, up in the air, and it struck Goliath right between his eyes, and Goliath stopped laughing. He stumbled, he staggered, and crash, he fell dead. When the Philistines saw Goliath was dead, they ran away. And when God's people saw them running away, they cheered. God had saved his people, and David was a hero for the day, a hero of the times. Many years later, God would send his people another young hero. It would be Jesus, and Jesus would save them. This Jesus, this hero, would fight the greatest battle the world would ever know. If you want our Lord to be the stronghold of reality in your life, it will come when you spend time with God. Not only will you feel closer to God, but you will learn so much more about yourself when you're listening about God's word or reading God's word. We all want to win and learn the battles that are placed before us. We may not win the battles, but we know the battles are in God's hands. God has made each of us for a higher purpose. What a great truth to know when you are going through troubled times, feeling fear and anxiety. The Lord is our refuge, especially during these times. God watches over us. He is in control. David writes Psalm 9 to God. He celebrates and he encourages us to celebrate the goodness of God. As I was reading Psalm 9, poem by David, I was thinking back to the olden days. Maybe some young people may not remember this. There used to be a time when you were working in an office, when you wanted to make an outside phone call, you had to press 9 to get an outside line. Or if you were in a hotel room and you wanted to call home or check in at home, you had to press 9 to get an outside line. All right, I want you to know that when you are anxious or nervous, dial 9. Now wait, look up Psalm 9 and read that. I found it very encouraging, and I'm going to share the psalm with you this morning. Okay. Starting with verses 1 and 2. Psalm 9, 1 and 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. What a wonderful way to start your day or to start your time with God, just praising him for who he is. This poem sings praises for our Lord and how he deals with the enemy. It is important for us to praise the Lord and give thanks for the gifts that he has given us. We've been talking about a thankful journal, things that your blessings. Review those journals. Review your blessings. Continue to write down your blessings. We talked about writing down 3 things a day that you're thankful for. Celebrate the goodness of God. Psalms 9, verses 3 to 5. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause. You have sat on your throne judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. David knows that God will always defend us from our enemy. We must not automatically think that God is on our side, but we must make it our choice to be on God's side by obeying his word. I'd like to read that again. We must not automatically think that God is on our side, but we must make it our choice to be on God's side by obeying his word. Rejoice and give thanks, as he is able to defeat the enemy. Be glad that our Lord is a refuge. He's a refuge in times of trouble. Acknowledge and let others know that he defends you. He defends us always. Verses 6 through 9. Endless ruin has overtaken the enemy. You have uprooted their cities, even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the people with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. That's deep, and that's beautiful. He is with us. Know God. Call out his name. Doing so will lead to trust, and trust will lead to assurance and confidence. Many will know God in their minds, but believing is having God within your heart. May you recognize God and become closer to him as you read the Bible, as you listen to sermons or sing Christian songs or have conversations with your neighbors or coworkers. May you feel his presence in the Holy Spirit that dwells within each of you. Verses 10 and 11. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. Seek the Lord. He will not abandon those who seek him. Dial 9. Read Psalm 9. Rejoice in him. Keep the praise for our Lord first in your life. Give him thanks for all he has done for you. Create and reread that list of items that you are thankful for. Know that he walks with us. Know that he walks with those who are in danger in Afghanistan. Know that he walks with those who are crossing borders for a better, safer life. He is with them. He is with us. He will keep us safe. Turn to him for refuge. Tell others what he has done for you. Our Lord is in control. He never gives up on anyone. He helps us to stand on the rock. He is worthy to be worshiped and adored. He is in control. He's with each of us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we live our lives standing on your love, standing on the rock. Please forgive us our sins. Please forgive us for doubting. Please forgive us for being angry when things don't go our way. Give us courage for the sorrows of life and patience for all that small stuff. Allow us to believe and live each day knowing there is no need for fear. Our life decisions, no need to fear our life decisions when we have Jesus in our hearts. You know us and you love us, for which we give you thanks. In your precious name, amen.